Prior to her win today, four women have won it twice, and twice is the record. Matthew Vanderpool obviously just broke the third on the men's side, but for the women, only four women had won it twice, and today now it's five.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Move Podcast. This is you heard me just say that an hour ago when we talked about the men's Tour Flanders, but no, this is as I tell people, right? When you go to a concert, like I love going to music, like going to shows, going to see bands and stuff. And if it's a big enough band, you have a band that comes out before, like the opening act, they're a smaller band. And then when you go see the Rolling Stones, for example, or U2 or Radiohead or something, somebody comes out before. And then the Stones come out, right? Why is that? Okay. It's real simple, because the stars close the show. So here we are, alas, 2024 Tour of Flanders Femme. And I'm joined by Mari Holden, who Mari, you could drop in on this show and not tell me where you are. And if you gave me three guesses, I get it right. Right. Hawaii just looks, even sitting in a, I think you're in your hotel room. You just know. I mean, somewhere, I think you're over on the Big Island.
I'm on the Big Island, birthday weekend, so all good.
That's right. It was yesterday or the day before your birthday?
My birthday was yesterday, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Made for an early
38, right? 38.
The what? 38?
Oh,
of course. Awesome. I'll take it.
yes.
And it's my birthday on Thursday, just to let you know. So Mari and I usually kind of identify as birthday twins. We've had some birthday dinners together while racing on the road. And I have Race Flanders on my birthday. April 4th is my birthday. Yep. And we'll so very happy.
You know, I'm going to put that in my calendar.
Thanks. But Mari's in there too. We're expecting presents.
I think Mari's in mine. Whoops. Okay. Hang on. I didn't mean that. Wait. So Allie, this 28, it's 28 for you, right?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Let's jump in. As I said in the men's show, I love the Tour of Flanders. I think you guys probably feel the same. It's such a cool race. It's like this perfect melange and combination of Paris-Roubaix and Liège, or the Ardennes, even like a Flèche Wallonne, Liège, Bastogne-Liège, and Roubaix. It's like Reese's, right? You combine the peanut butter and the chocolate, and you end up with a Reese's peanut butter cup. That's what the Tour of Flanders is, right? It's very hilly. It's cobbled, as we saw. By the way, the women's race, like the men got to do half of the race in okay conditions, dry roads. They had some wind. But then it started raining and then the wind kicked up. The women had to do the entire race in these conditions. The race is hard if it's a 75 degree sunny day. It's virtually impossible when the conditions are like that. I thought the race was exciting. You guys have a bunch of storylines that we can dive into, but I loved it. And Elisa, as Allie says, Lamborghini. But Elisa was exceptional. And she had the best team, right? We say it all the time. Like, how do you win bike races, right? How do you start? If you have a bad team, it's hard to win a bike race. You have a great team, it makes it easier. She had a great team.
The teamwork was incredible. Incredible. Yeah. And I think it's something that we've seen on the men's side with SD Works Pro Time. It's been hard to crack that code. And when you see people try to crack the Matthew Vanderpool side on the men's side, on the women's, like Little Trek has done a very good job of really, and Elisa said it when she won, like it's about the team. You know, she has her motorbike, which in Chirin, and the team really setting her up and isolating SD Works there. To ultimately win. And I think that's awesome. Like Mads winning last week. It's fun to see teams working together. They may not be the strongest, but I feel like what I saw is they're the most unified, because there might be a little drama llama going on in the SD Works side.
Well, and their confidence is building, right? So, I mean, over the last few races, it's been working in their tactics of, you know, isolating the SD Works team and stuff like that. It's really paying off and they're gaining that confidence. And so I think that this is going to be a super exciting classic season in general. You know, I mean, it's been unbelievable.
Is that real? That I've read some of that stuff. I don't tend to believe most of the things that I read, but you guys would know, like, is that real? Do we have drama there? Cause they definitely, just as an observer and as a fan, they definitely look off. I don't know if maybe they're structuring the season some different way, but if there's drama, then it's starting to show.
Well, we loved Amy, of course. She's been on the show and she's got some contract issues. So mm-hmm. Lotta re-signed. And the management of SD Works Pro Time actually issued a statement saying that they hadn't heard from Damie's management team and they'd offered her a contract and they were at max budget. And so then they asked Damie and she's like, I'm in for the team for this year right now. And I felt like today she was racing 100% for the team to the best of her abilities. But I'm sensing a little bit of, like, you know, contract stuff happens. I don't know, Mari, did you see that?
Well, yeah, I think it definitely, especially in Dwarfs last week, you know, I mean, it was just like, they chose to announce this, or her team actually put it out there right before the start of the race. And I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want other teams thinking that there's drama in your team, especially you don't want to be the, you know, the person putting that information out there to where people think they can start, you know, using it to their advantage. I really didn't understand why, you know, Danny Stam made that statement right before the race, you know, and you could see they were off, and then that kind of confusion. And it was just such an odd, you know, announcement in general.
Yeah.
Well, Demi, to me, at least just watching, she put on a brave face. It felt like she, obviously this isn't, I mean, she's exceptional, so you never know with her, but she did seemingly all that she could do for Lotto Capecchi, who just, when the men's race finished and I flicked on the women's race, I mean, I saw right away, I was like, wow, this is, and, you know, the world champion stands out, right? They're in all white. They've got the rainbow jersey. And of course, Matthew Vanderpool had just won in all white with the rainbow jersey. So you're sort of looking for that in the group. The talk about a tale of two rainbow jerseys, very different. And this is not to be expected of her. She just looked off. But at the same time, she hung in there, right? And this is this style of racing. You kind of have to, if you have a bad 20, 30 minutes, you got to hang in there, and she did, which I think is super cool, but she just wasn't herself.
She was not herself. And before we dive into that, I just have a question, Lance. I'm like, being a world champion.
Oh boy.
You,
I know you very well. And I know where you're going with this. I don't know what you're going to say. You didn't tell me what you're going to say, but I know where you're going with this. So go ahead.
I just am talking about the all white. Like, what are your feelings about?
You mean white shorts? White?
Yeah, the white shorts.
Well, my feelings are, first of all, it's been a very, very long time since I was the world. It's been 31 years since I wore a white rainbow jersey. And that wasn't a thing. That was not a thing in the 90s. But it started to become a thing in the 2000s, in the early 2000s, especially at the tour. You know, you'd have one of these bus boys that gets the yellow jersey. And when I say bus boy, you know what I mean by bus boy, right? Gets the yellow jersey. Next thing you know, he shows up next day, and I mean everything is yellow. everything: the jersey, the shorts, the shoes, the helmet, the bike, the socks. I mean, the glasses. And I'm like, yo, man.
Bar tape. Don't forget the bar tape. The pedals. I mean,
you know, and if he wants to paint his nails, those are yellow too. I'm like, dude, you're going to have this jersey for about a day, right? Can we stop? Like, I'm going to have this thing more than anybody, I promise you. And I am never going to be convinced to have all of these things. So
you're not going to paint your nails? I don't understand. You can do Roy G. Biv on your nails? No.
Well, I'll never say never. Okay. I'll do anything for my kids. So if they make me do that, I'll do it. But I wouldn't, especially on a day like this. But again, look, how do we watch cycling, right? You watch it either from a helicopter shot or the motos. And as we saw, which is fun to talk about, I mean, the stuff that they did at Tour Flanders, you guys saw this with the drone coverage, like covering the downhills with the drones behind both the men's and women's field. I thought that was amazing. Like, I was like, okay, I feel like I'm following this person down this descent. It was awesome. but you know, it, the if you're trying to identify the world champion, it does make it easier. But no, that's not, I'm not very, y'all know me. I wear sweatpants. Like, I'm not very blingy. So white shorts.
No. Actually, I saw on your podcast the other day, you didn't have shoes on. Anyway, it's okay.
You know, I saw that too. I was like, Liz, should we maybe just, can't you crop the bottom of the photo so that I don't look like I'm always walking around barefoot?
Well, 'cause you are, but I will say the drone footage was awesome. And especially those descents in the women's race and the men's, I was watching both at the same time. And Sharon was off the front and she was just sending it down the last climb there. And, the descent, but and Blaze was the one who was like, whoa, that moto's getting, oh, that's a drone. Oh yeah. My God, that's sick. And I was like, yeah, thanks. He also woke up way after I'd been watching it for many hours, and the sparkle in my eye that MVDP won, he knew. I was just like, don't watch. You don't know who won. He could see how happy I was. He was like, I know who won. He gets a little jealous. I think it's okay.
How close do those drones get? Do you even know? Cause I mean, they were super close. And
it's a great question. I thought about that myself. I mean,
I almost felt like she looked back, like she might've heard it or something. And I wasn't sure. I mean, obviously she was wondering where the group was, but I mean, if those drones aren't quiet and if they're kind of close, it's a weird sound to be hearing as a cyclist out there. Like, what's this noise? You know,
I was wondering that
when you watch the coverage, you can hear it in the coverage. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can hear the actual drone if you listen for it. Mm-hmm. But it's a good question because, my mind goes right to where are we finding the drone pilot? Because somebody has to be sitting in there with the remote. That is a very important person, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine if you just got somebody to go try to fly this thing. I mean, that would not be good if one of those ran into the Peloton.
And they really have to know cycling. I mean, so it has to be a pretty specific kind of pilot of the drone.
Yeah, I think they've got that part figured. I thought it was a killer angle. Like, I loved feeling like, I'm sure Wouter, the guy who bought the Tour Flanders years ago and really reimagined it and made it the race that it is today, which I think is incredible. He's a sharp guy, and I'm sure he's very comprehensive. He's found, you know, the best drone pilots in Belgium, right? It was. Mm-hmm. But you would have to, right? And fun to.
It was like footage you didn't know that you were missing until you see it. And you're like, wow, this sport is so beautiful. And I do think she looked back because she could hear it. And also I heard in the post-race interviews that the team was telling her to wait, which I thought was an interesting tactic. Wait for Elisa and Neodoma is what they said. Lee Strzok said. So
in a weird way, we kind of stumbled on something that might be something we talk more about in the future, right? That type of coverage, you don't have to film people from the back necessarily. Right. Mm-hmm. So when I just told you the two ways that the sport is captured is either via helicopter or on motorcycles. How many times have we heard people complain? Maybe the motorcycles have gotten more efficient now, but people have complained in the past about the exhaust, and they have certainly complained about the benefits of having a motorcycle in front of you. Right. Mm-hmm. We talked about that thousands of times. This could, I don't know. I think we stumbled upon something. Let's watch it. Let's see.
Well, I mean, that would be pretty revolutionary, pretty amazing when you think about it. I hadn't thought in those terms, but I mean, to be able to say, okay, you know, if someone's off the front, you can put a drone with them instead of having the moto there. And then the moto, you know, could be there for support or something further back. But that'd be awesome. Well, yeah. For us watching.
Let's do some business and then we'll talk more about the race and some stuff that you guys, because I want to talk about Neodoma. I think she's just interesting and like crazy consistent.
Yeah, she is incredible right now. Speaking of business though. It's a birthday week, right? So we're thinking about some aging, perhaps. But we do spend a lot of time. Well, I've got another year going on here. I'm pretty happy with it. But we do spend a lot of time outside. So riding bikes, I've been into running. Lance is like pushing cars around.
Yeah.
Barefoot probably at this point. I don't know. And that'd be a good challenge. I'm going to add that in there. And but Mari has always been been so kind to me and reminding me to take good care of myself and especially my skin. And there is nothing like feeling confident in your own skin. So I would like to introduce you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. I actually have some here. They're actually need a little refills. I've been using it up a lot.
Note to OneSkin, Allie needs a refill.
I do. But their products make it really easy to keep your skin healthy and make you feel the best. It's not really complicated. I start with a little prep, wash my face, pat dry, use their signature product, the OS01 face. There's also that peptide in the eye cream. Do it twice a day. Just, you know, if I remind myself to brush my hair or brush my teeth, do it at the same time. And it's kind of like my daily routine. So it's pretty awesome. Mari, what are you thinking about it?
Well, I'm really into skincare, like you said, Allie, and I do always remember, and I remember to brush my hair and my teeth. But I think that, you know, the peptides are where everything's at for the, for skincare, and keeping it easy is the most important thing, because you want to be consistent. So being able to go out there and make sure it's a part of your routine every day and it's not complicated is the one thing that's going to help you stay consistent with it. And as we all know, like, consistency pays off in the long run. So
just like training.
Imagine that. But, yeah, birthday weeks make you think about skincare, or I do. That's
right. Well, we can tell that Lance has been using that skincare. He looks, we're twins today. We're wearing the same t-shirt, and I don't know, he might look better than me. So,
Sure. Right. Right. Whatever.
But said we are no really
one. Said no one.
We're really grateful for OneSkin to be a sponsor of the show. And OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company by focusing on the cellular aspects of aging. I can speak. Also, I love science. OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code THEMOVE at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code THEMOVE. After you purchase, they might ask where you heard about them, and please support us in our show and tell them that we sent you.
Right. Hey, before we get, before we talk about Neodoma, I just realized that Elisa won this race in 2015 as well. I mean, that's a long time. That's 9 years ago. Oh, a lot can happen.
Yeah, she made comments about that.
Yeah.
In her, you know, interviews afterwards about how she was, I mean, she didn't say the word child, but she made it, you know, she alluded to the fact that when she first won it, she didn't really understand the meaning of winning Flanders. Mm. But this time, you know, she's more mature and can appreciate it from a different level. I thought that was really interesting, but yeah, amazing.
It's an interesting fact too, because she just broke another record. So prior to her win today, four women have won it twice, and twice is the record. Matthew Vanderpool obviously just broke the third on the men's side, but for the women, only four women had won it twice, and today now it's five.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she didn't have a perfect race, right? Right when I flicked, when the men's race finished and I went to the women's race, and again, you just kind of have to go off what the commentators say. We don't know exactly, but according to the commentary, I mean, I saw her crash in the post-race interview. Sounded like she had a flat, and then the front wheel slid out, and she had wasn't a big crash, but definitely a crash. Got a spare bike, and according to the coverage, finished the race on the spare bike. Like, you guys know. I mean, they try to set these spare bikes up the same. Obviously, they're the same size. The dimensions are the same. They're never the same. They're just never the same. You get on it and you're like, oh, this just is a little, this is like 1% off. I hated getting on a spare bike. Even the days are like, dude, you got to go train for an hour on your spare bike. I was like, oh, it's just different. Makes it even more exceptional.
Yeah,
but her crash was really interesting to watch too. And the way she managed to like control it and not go down right away. I mean, that's the worst feeling, knowing that you're coming into a wet corner with something wrong with your bike, you know, and it looked like, oh, well, if it had been, you know, years ago, your front tire going flat. I mean, I was just like, oh God. Yeah. Scary, but she managed to, you know, stay regrouped and got back on the next bike. And, made it back. But when I saw that happen, I thought, oh no, you know, yeah, one of the contenders is out. And
yep, same,
because they were going fast at that time.
Same.
Well, there was a really large crash earlier on in the race that did take out Marlon Reuser from SD Works Pro Time, which is a huge, you know, winner of Jent Wevelgem world champion in the time trial. So that was a huge asset that SD Works did lose. And also a woman that's won Flanders and world champion Olympic gold medalist, Lizzie Deigman, broke her arm in that crash. So there was a pretty gnarly crash that did catch up a lot of riders. Elisa did make it through that one, but just the ability to rally. And I agree, like, and she did say she had a flat, and I thought her crash was surprisingly not as bad as I
right
would have expected.
It was more of a tip over, but nonetheless had to get a spare bike. So something.
Yeah. And you hate those spare bikes.
Yeah, I do. Chloe Dygert had a crash. I believe I saw.
She got caught up in the second crash for sure. And then she got kind of toppled over on the Koppenberg it all looked fine, but it's so hard to catch back on. And like you said, we saw our world champion walking, running up the Koppenberg. I'm sure I'm going to get corrected in how I said that. But 3 men made it over the top. The women's group was a very significant, amazing group of riders that I found interesting. There are so many world champion cyclocross riders at the top, yep, similar to the men's race. So you've got Voss, Huck Peters, junior, or she's U23, Sharanza, junior cyclocross world champion. So you see these riders that are making that split, yep, that are coming from cyclocross disciplines, which was really fun to see. But this is something I wanted to ask you talk about to both of you, is watching this, that Lotta, like we were saying, did not look that great. She did have a fumble, but she had a fumble last year and she still won. Those cobbles are getting very slippery. And also to those listening, they're really slippery to walk on or run on too. Like, your cleats are not made to walk up this mossy, wet, steep 20% cobbles. But I noticed her face was looking pretty white and she just didn't look great. Mm-hmm. And you could see the group of riders that split. Damey came up behind her and she's bringing her back. And I actually thought the race was over then. I was like, it's done. Done. And it was still a long way to go. And then you look Puck is bridging and, these younger riders are attacking and it was super dynamic. And then we're watching it. And Blaze starts singing this Guess Who's Back Again. Lotto is just, she's like, Lotta's back. And she just starts dieseling back. And when you look at it, this race is 163 kilometers. When it first started, it was only 94 kilometers. Mm-hmm. Totally different. Yeah. And so these younger riders from these cyclocross distances, and not including Mariana Voss, obviously, but she's very, very proficient in that. But I think you could see the distance, I think, start wearing on it. And that's where I personally think Lotta started getting her second wind. It's less explosive. She dieseled back and guess who's back? And still it didn't go in her favor, but I found it really impressive. Continue. That was my spiel.
I wish we could have seen what happened a lot on the Koppenberg, actually, because, she was right there with Chloe when they were climbing, and then Chloe kind of toppled over. Lotta had made it through. And then
she did.
And then all of a sudden, the next thing you see is Lotta's running. And so I was, it would have been nice to see what exactly happened. She didn't look herself, at that point already, but I was wondering if, some hit a wheel, kind of fell over, or, what exactly happened. I thought the way she kind of regrouped and just kind of mentally got herself back in the game again and just kept working hard, It was impressive and definitely champion kind of mindset. But you said a lot, Allie. So I'm just trying to jump in to where the other thing that interested me in what you were talking about was, I think that Puck, she's unbelievable. And for a 21-year-old kid, in her first year, basically, of racing on the road at a higher level, she's amazing, and then attacking them and not afraid and going for it. Yeah. The distance is long, but she was in there and she was a part of the race and she was making the race, which I thought was, it's one thing to be following things and kind of in there, but she was actually not afraid and trying to go for it. And really, that for someone that young is so impressive.
She's amazing.
A lot.
Yeah. She did podium at Strade Bianche last year. This is technically, you're right, like about her first year, complete year. But this will be her last road race of the year. She's focusing on the mountain bike race at the Paris Olympics. Yep. So she is a U23, like I said, cyclocross world champion. But she is focused all in for the mountain bike race, in Paris. So she's saying goodbye to road racing for the, till after the Olympics. But you know, she has some big wins coming. Let's get her on the show.
Yeah, 21 years old. She's not going anywhere.
No.
So we've mentioned so many times the Koppenberg, and you know, not just on this show, but also the men's show. It was so exceptional today. It was just so, it was fun to watch sitting on my couch. I'm sure it was terrible to be there. But for folks that didn't watch it, like, I think it's worth going through and trying to describe it, because it's, you know, we talk a lot about people going uphill. We talk a lot about, but we rarely talk about people falling over while they're going uphill. But if you didn't watch it, just imagine, right? Go, I don't know what kind of neighborhood or where you live, but go find the smallest alley in any neighborhood near you. It's or imagine a golf cart path, right? It's very narrow. I think at the most extreme, it's 17 or 18%. It is cobbled, right? We're not talking about brick pavers like you folks have in your driveway. I mean, like old school 100-year-old stones. Over time, it has been driven on enough that it's actually crowned, right? So the trick is, especially if it's wet and muddy, you cannot be anywhere near the side. Right. If you have to be right in the middle, and if you get off to the side, the rubber won't stay on the brick. So it becomes, that's why when we're talking about the girls and the guys not, you know, tipping over or having to unclip, it's because if you don't hit it perfectly, and again, you're going as just the fight for position at the bottom means that everybody's at max heart rate. You have to be at max heart rate just to get into position. And then somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, "Oh yeah, now we start." That's what it's like. And so then you're totally maxed out. You're anaerobic and you're trying to figure out how to stay on your bike. Like, it's a whole level, another level of difficulty. It's
well, and I think, Lance, to what you're saying, that coming into the base of those kinds of things is just like, people don't quite understand the fight that's going on for that. It's not just kind of physical, but it's also, I mean, physical, yes, and trying to get people out of your way and into your position, but they're maxed by the time they're even getting there. And, yep. You know, and so they're not thinking straight, and they're not, you know, they're just reacting and, you know, needing to be in the front so that you can actually have somewhat of a clean line to, you know, as clean as it can be getting up something like that. And, you know, if you can't fight into that position and you're stuck getting into it in the wrong position, you're basically screwed. You can't,
right. You
know, you just have to kind of deal with what's going on around you. And if someone in front of you has an issue, you're going down too, and you're running your bike also.
Yep. And the way the cameras were set up, and we just talked about how they capture the sport in this particular, or places like that, they have static cameras. Mm-hmm. So you did see Lotta Kopecky get by Chloe Dygert. Mm-hmm. And then they switched to the camera angle, the static camera angle at the top of the climb, and she was off of her bike. So we sort of missed, at least I didn't see what actually, because you saw her make it. She made it by Chloe. And next thing you know, they go to the other camera angle and she's running. And to your point, Allie, like, they're difficult to walk up in like trail running shoes. Try go, you know, skipping up those things with bike shoes and cleats. It's a complete disaster.
I know, and it looks comical from the spectator's like point of view. And when you're racing, it is not comical at all. Like, Lotta was just pissed. Like, she missed like 2 feet. She's like shaking her head. She's just angry. I was like, I don't want to be like next to her when she's angry.
And if you do have to get off and try to walk/run up, and you see other competitors in front of you that stayed on. I mean, they're going 10 times faster than you. They're riding, you know, they're pedaling. And that so yes, it's difficult, frustrating, but then you're watching them ride away and you're like, wow, that's how this is going to go.
Like, yeah,
it's, and there was, and I'm sure they did this for the women's race. They did comment in the men's race They issued a warning before the men hit the Koppenberg. They said, it's basically an advisory, like it's really treacherous. So just, you know, so the commissar issues that to the team car, the directors then transmit that to the riders in both the men's and women's field, through their race radios. So they knew that this was going, which by the way, makes it even crazier for a position fight at the bottom. Like it's already crazy, but that's just like, that's next level crazy when it came to the bottom of the Koppenberg today. Just there's a lot of stuff I don't miss in cycling.
I definitely do not miss that one.
I don't, those fights for position, I don't care what race it is. I'd rather drink gasoline. I swear to God, straight up.
You guys were giving me PTSD thinking about fighting for that position. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you guys don't know how scary hard. And then you still have to go like full gas, like Lance was saying, once you hit it. And this is what though makes the Spring Classic so exciting to watch. It's like full send, because if the race, like if you're not in the front of the race is up the road. So like you have to keep pushing forward and there's not this like games and playing around. Lance, did you want to talk about Neodoma's finish? Do we or not?
Well, I just, her finish. I mean, she, but the thing that stands out for me is, and thanks to you all, I watch a ton of women cycling now. She's always up there. Mm-hmm. Like it, she's missing that. She did win the Gravel Worlds last year. But she, for somebody who's so there's, and she's not the quickest lady in the peloton, but boy, she's so consistent. I'm like, I love that. I'm like, yeah, like you just, it's, she's so reliable. I've never ridden with her or even been around her, but every time you turn on the television, she is there. She's a factor.
She's always a factor.
Ranked sixth, right? Sixth in the World Tour or UCI points. She's
as you would be if you're that consistent.
Well, I mean, for somebody who doesn't ever win the race, it's like pretty amazing to be, you know, sixth in the rankings.
Yeah. And by the way, put in an impossible position, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have the best sprint in any three person group, well, then you're probably going to get third. But if you happen to be in that three person group and you're technically the slowest sprinter and two of those other people are on the same team, you have virtually 0% chance. Mm-hmm. So very tough position for her to be in, but also great that, again, always up
there. Her odds of doing, like, her result was much better than it would have been had that group behind caught on. I mean,
absolutely. So
she had every reason to be, you know, working till, I mean, what'd she work up until about like
400 meters? Yeah. Like so. Lamborghini's like in the radio, like 400 meters to go. Like, when should I sprint? Like I literally, it was not 400 meters. Sorry. It was probably those 700 meters. I was like 700 meters to go to the Tour Flanders and you have time to go in the race radio.
Like, we know what she wasn't saying in the race radio. Cause if you listen to the post-race interview, they asked her, are you going to have, you know, great win? You know, congratulations. You're going to have, you must be all set up for a great party tonight. And she's like,
I'm not a party girl.
I'm not a party girl.
That was a great comment.
We know she wasn't planning that.
So she's hilarious. So I wrote this on my notes, Lance, and I was going to surprise you with the party girl one, but apparently you've done your research as well, but she loves pizza. And so, she's eaten, like she'll eat two pizzas, like for herself, she's Italian. And, but she has this funny quote on, if you put pineapple on your pizza, like it's the death of her, like, do not do that to your pizza. So she might not be partying, but for sure she's having pizza.
There's a lot of people that have that weird, sort of opinion about that. I mean, there are people that ask that question. Like, would you ever put pineapple on your pizza? Like, I think that's a weird question. But I've been asked that question, and I wouldn't do that. So I'm cool, I guess, with Lamborghini. But I get that question. I get a lot of weird questions, and that's one.
That's a weird one for sure.
It's so weird.
Well, I have a boomstick, I think, which is going to be a one skin bottle at this point. Cause I don't have a boomstick. Cause Lance normally will let me.
I thought that was exclusive to July. And actually, excuse me, this year, August. Allie asked me at the beginning of the show or in the members meeting if we were doing the show in Aspen. I said, hell yeah. There is that break between the men's tour and the women's tour. I think it'll be nice. Nice to have a little break, but no, I thought the boomstick was exclusive to July or August, but I will have another one made if this is something you need to have. And look, I know Blaze gets out of line for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And if you're over there nerding out on Vanderpool and he gets mad, you pull out that boomstick and that's it. So what's the boomstick?
Well, oh shoot. No, I'm going to go with Lamborghini, Lisa Longo Borghini. Yes. Dynamic racer. Like I said, the race is always up the road. This woman activates, attacks, never looks back, and not afraid to fail. Second time now, winner of the Tour of Flanders, 2 times bronze medals at the Olympics and 2 times bronze at the Worlds, which means, like you're saying, consistent and just trying. She's won Paris-Roubaix and UAE Tour and the Women's Tour. And then a fun fact, her partner, she's married to Jacopo. And he also races on Little Trek. And so to win her second Tour of Flanders 9 years later, come on, boomstick. Right. And she just always attacks. And when Blaze got up finally and he looks at it and Lambo's like racing, he's like, I didn't know Lambo's could go that fast off road, but you know, she's got the engine. And he just loves her. Like, if I like Vanderpool, shoot, he loves the Lamborghini.
And she crashed, you know, had that spill, had to get the bike. I think that that would drive me crazy. And then the night you said it, the 9 year gap, that's in this sport, that's for a race like the Tour of Flanders, that is a long time. You could look up in the men's side, the women's side, doesn't matter. 9 years between winning a race like that. I'd be surprised if anybody's ever done that. So yeah, that is damn sure the boomstick.
Thank you.
What were the differences between Mary and Voss? Do you know when her years were? Like how
she hasn't won it twice.
Oh, really? Wow. Mm-hmm.
So maybe we don't know. So we might have to wait a year, but
I did think Voss looked good. But yeah, this is the 10th edition of the Tour of Flanders, first edition at April 4th, which is my birthday, 2004. And it's only been in the World Tour since 2016. So just fun facts, but
good.
Yeah, I geek
all
out.
All right. Are we seeing each other, all of us, next weekend for Paris-Roubaix? I'm assuming so. We better be.
Heck yes.
Okay, good.
I have my Flanders flag here too. I've just been like holding it all day.
Well, if you watched any of the races, they fly these flags around, these lions.
And I wish they wouldn't be in the way of the camera. Like, I kept thinking that on the camera, like, get that out of the way.
It's Belgium. There's no rules in Belgium. They do. This is the Tour of Flanders. There's no rules. Like, whatever. We're going to do whatever we want. But are you still going to be over there, Mara, in Hawaii? Or are you going to be back?
I'll be here.
Man, that's look at
early
this.
Morning.
This is, so I got one co-host who's getting fucking Easter eggs dropped from a helicopter. I got another one. Who just basically, I guess, going to live in Hawaii. This is what, Allie, what are we doing?
It's not a bad place to be. You know?
No, I zillion percent agree.
I think, Mark, Lance, we're kind of like basic bitches. Yeah. We're wearing the same t-shirt. We're like in our own homes.
Yeah. what are we doing wrong? This
oh, no. We married the right people, but I don't know what else we're doing wrong.
Well, it's great to see you all finally. And I guess we'll see you next Sunday.
Ooh, last question.
Okay.
I know Mari has some beach time. Do I get to ask your pick for the race next weekend? The Hell of the North. Any guesses? Can I? Or do I have to save that?
That's a question for Mari. This is, I see it. But if you're not watching, I see her. She's thinking.
You know, I'm going to have to go back to Capecchi. She had an off day today and in every other race, she's just been really firing on all cylinders. And I really think that, you know, she's going to come back next week and be the one to beat, but then it is Paris-Roubaix and all kinds of crazy things happen. I mean, with AJ last year and stuff. So, I mean, you can't really factor in like who's going to have some kind of, you know, crazy day, but I'd say Capecchi's the one to beat.
That's a safe bet. And she's tough. She's no quitter. Like she's days like today don't go the way she obviously wanted them to go, but that she uses that as, I imagine, again, I don't know her, but just observing, like this is fuel, right? This is motivation. Yeah. So I
think it's going to motivate her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A solid pick.
That's my call. She's going to come back like an angry bull. I know it.
Okay. Well, everybody will have to wait a week to see how these girls did.
Well, I know.
These two right here. So,
well, you guys look great. Good to see you.
All right.
Thank you.
Good seeing you.
Yep. Great to see y'all. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, here you go. Here we go.